Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to be going to James chapter 5 this morning. James the 5th chapter. And I want to talk to you this morning about this. This is the title of my message. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. And you'll understand more about that title as we get into this morning. James, the 5th chapter, and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." How many are excited already? One of your favorite verses, right? Have you got that on your refrigerator? I didn't think so. I've noticed there's a scripture in Acts that says, "Through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God." I haven't seen it on anybody's refrigerator. But it's part of it, isn't it? Amen. Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy or blessed which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful," or full of pity, "and of tender mercies." Now, James talks about, you know, trials, afflictions, tribulations here. And because they're a fact of life. How many know that? I said they're a fact of life. Just because we walk by faith doesn't mean it exempts us from trials. I wish it did. But then again, you know, our life's not a life of defeat either, like some Christians preach and teach. Our life's a life of victory. But we do face trials. The Bible never told us that faith is the victory that keeps you from having trials. No, it says face the victory that helps you overcome the world. And so, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it." Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. That He overcame it so we could overcome it. Amen. He was the forerunner for us. Amen? But, when you think about trials, the classic example of coming through tribulation and trouble is Job. And a lot of people mess Job up and don't understand Job. And a lot of people think that God caused Job's problems because Job thought God caused his problems. Remember what he said to his wife? "Shall we not receive good at the hands of the Lord and evil?" But he did not know. He didn't speak foolishly. He didn't know. You have to understand, Job didn't have the Bible. He didn't know what we know. I'm not sure that he even had any revelation about the devil, even knew about him. There's no, we take for granted, you know, that some of these older saints like Job know what we know, but they didn't have the New Testament. Job's not writing the book of Job. He's living the book of Job. Now, had he been able to read the book of Job, which was written later, the book of Job says, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job, not God. And it talks about Job, and it talks about his endurance, you know, his patience, the King James says. You could say his endurance, that Job endured. What does that mean, he endured? He endured in faith. He kept the faith. Remember what his wife told him? She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" See, that's what you have to understand. What the devil was after with Job was his faith. He was out to get his faith. But what you got to know about God, where it says here, the King James says in verse 10, it says, "We've seen the end of the Lord." We've seen the end of the Lord. We've seen the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful, full of pity and compassion. We've seen the outcome of the Lord. What was the end of the Lord for Job? He got twice as much. Hallelujah. He went through about 9 months of trial, but he came out with twice as much. Think about it. And it says that was God's... Actually, I think it might be the New King James that says it this way. You see the end intended by the Lord. Satan's intention was to strip Job of his faith. He told God, he said, you touch him, he'll curse you to your face. It'll strip him of his faith. And God wouldn't touch him. The devil went forth and did it. And so God's intention was, when we get done with this, son, you're going to have twice as much as you have. Hallelujah. How many could handle some of that? How many like some twice? So I don't want the trials to get to twice as much, but sometimes you do go through some stuff to get some stuff. I said sometimes you go through some stuff to get some stuff. Now, I spent some time talking to God about trials one time. And I know that they don't come from God. I know he's not the source. He doesn't. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from him. Right? He's not tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man with evil. None of this. I mean, have you ever heard of the word, and some of you that have dealt with cancer before, you recognize this word, malignancy. A malignant tumor. Have you ever heard that? A malignant tumor. You know what the word malignant means? The word malignant means evil. An evil tumor. That's what the word malignancy means. It means evil. That's the root meaning of the word. So how many know God's not given anybody any evil tumors? He doesn't have any evil. He's good, amen? And so I was talking to the Lord. I said, now I know the trials don't come from you. Now, I said, but do you sometimes permit trials? Here's what he said to me, okay? You could take this for what it's worth, but I heard this just as strong in my spirit. He said, all you need to be concerned about is keep the faith. Amen. That's all you got to do. Amen. We can get so caught up in how this happened. What's wrong with me? When our job is just keep the faith. Job had it all messed up where it came from. And he came out with twice as much. Because he kept the faith. Hallelujah. Everybody say, keep the faith. That means the devil, when he brings these pressures on us, when he brings these trials on us, it's just all about getting our faith. He wanted to get Job's faith. Remember the time, some of you remember this, the time that, you know, Peter was really bold and brassy, and he, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to Jerusalem, you know, and all you are going to be scattered because of me this night. And Peter said, though that everybody runs, everybody's scattered, yet I won't. And the Lord said to Peter, he said, before this night, before the rooster crows three times this night, before the rooster crows this night, you'll deny me three times. Remember that? And he said to Peter, this is Luke chapter 22, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. As wheat. See? He said, but that, how many know Jesus would know what to pray for, wouldn't he? He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. So the problem was that the devil was after what? He was after Peter's faith. You know, when he would, you know, put that pressure on him to deny the Lord, he was after Peter's faith. And he you know what? Thank God. You know, Peter repented, didn't he? Yes, he did. Amen? And Jesus told him, he said, there's going to be, he said, when you're converted, when you come back, he said, strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we see he was after Peter's faith during that situation. So listen, you know, your faith, the Bible tells us in Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, that we have received like precious faith. Our faith is precious. That means Satan's after it. Amen? Now listen now. We know these scriptures. I'm just giving you some scriptures, but we know these scriptures. I'm going to look at some other things before we receive communion, but we know these scriptures. How many know the Bible says that persecution and affliction comes for the word's sake? To get the word out of you. Well, if he gets the word out of you, how many know he gets your faith? See? So here, all he's after, Satan doesn't want you to come through a trial with your faith intact. That's the whole thing with Job. He wanted Job, because God bragged on Job. He said, man, he's upright. There's no one like him in the earth. And Satan said, yeah, well, this little trouble to him and happened to him, and he'll curse you to his faith, to your face. But Job didn't, did he? He came out on the other side with his face still intact. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we think we're going through some big trials, but I'll tell you what, compared to what some people have gone through, every time I think I'm going through some heavy stuff, I try to think of this lady, Corrie Ten Boom. You've never read her story, read sometime The Hiding Place. You know, when she went to concentration camp Ravensbrück for hiding Jews during World War II. Now, you read her story, you'll realize I just got some light afflictions going on here. Right? I mean, when you read her story, and I'll think about her sometimes, I'll think about, well, you know, when I'm going through something, I'll think, well, now, think about Corrie Ten Boom. She came out on the other side with her faith intact. I'm coming out on the other side with my faith intact. Now, I've been through some things. I'm not going to stand up here and talk about it, but I've been through some things before that could have knocked me out of the Christian walk, could have knocked me out of the ministry. But I'm going to keep my faith all the way through. I'm going to trust God's going to bring me out on the other side.
Right.
Hallelujah. And I'm coming out with victory on the other side.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't come here and share this morning. I come here to hear how wonderful I have it in Christ. That's what I'm telling you. Anybody tells you, you know, you're not going to have any challenges, I don't know where they're coming from. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell the students at Rhema, he said, if you think you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease, you got another thing coming. He said, sure, I'm blessed right now. He said, but I remember when I was, I didn't have two nickels to rub together, holes in my shoes, you know. He said, I'd drive at night because my tires were so bald, you know. I didn't want them blowing out in hot asphalt. He said, and they'd talk to me saying, what are you going to do now? He said, the first one start talking to me. What are you going to do now? Then another one starts talking. What are you going to do now? Then they'd all join in. What are you going to do now? He said, I just yell, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to believe God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like Brother Hagin told the students at Ray one time. He said, some of you came here. Your parents paid for everything. Gave you a Cadillac. You're eating T-bone steaks. He said, you say you're living by faith. He said, you're no more living by faith than I'm an astronaut. Help me preach, somebody.
Amen.
Faith will bring you through.
Amen.
Right? The Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, he commended them because he said, of all your faith and patience and all your tribulations and persecutions that you endure. That word endure means to hold up under. In other words, Paul said, you guys are keeping the faith. Even though you're going through some trouble, you're keeping the faith. Praise God. And he said, you endure it. Or listen, I like to think of it this way. You're not folding like a cheap chair. Come on now. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning. Is this all right? I mean, I've had believers over the years. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been pastoring people, helping people for over 40-some years. And I've seen people that did the least little bit of thing, and they fold like a cheap chair. They talk the big faith talk. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm God's man of faith and power. Then a little trouble hit, and they started whining like a whip pup. I thought, what happened to that faith and power? Amen. You know, you're going to get tested, right? But thank God we have victory.
Yeah.
Faith is the victory. It overcomes.
Yeah.
We got to keep the faith. We got to keep the faith. Through it all, we've got to keep the faith. Amen. So Peter, you know, he had his challenges. Job had his challenges. But you know how many of you read about some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. And it talks about how, you know, it's like in 2 Corinthians 11. He talks about some of the things he went through. But yet at the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. How many know he went through some things, didn't he? But he kept the faith. Now, you know, God's not the author of trials. You got to get that. I know there's people that teach God's the author of trials. He sends them to cause you to grow spiritually and make you, make you a strong believer. But the Bible says they come to steal the word. So how does stealing the word make you strong? What does make you strong is if you keep the faith through it all and fight through it all. You know, Brother Wigglesworth said, great, great faith comes out of great test. People that just stand, amen? And so let's look at this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Go there. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read a verse there. And I got just a few things to share with you. We're going to receive communion here in just a little bit. But you have to understand, you know, all you need to know. See, sometimes we try to figure everything out. How many know you can get confused trying to figure everything out? Yeah. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why didn't this go right? Why didn't that go right? Well, if you need to know, how many know God will tell you? But the thing that you need to know is just keep faith. Amen. Just keep believing God. Even if you don't know what's going on. Man, I've been through trial. I don't know why it's happening, but all I know, trust God. Believe God. Amen. Now, I've had some trials I started. Don't y'all look so holy and innocent? How many know Jonah got in a trial, didn't he? Remember that? Who started that one? Right? You know what? You start your own trials, you can be well bait, well barf. I mean, you know, had a carnival cruise, didn't he? Listen, he started that. What's the remedy to fix that? Repent, obey, right? Isn't that right? But how many know, Paul was in a storm one time. Remember, he got on that ship and he said, sirs, I perceive that there's going to be much trouble on this journey. We shouldn't go. And they believed the captain of the ship, more than Paul. What happened? They got in trouble. Paul's in a storm. Did he cause the storm? Did God cause the storm? No, it was people he's with caused the storm because they didn't listen. How many know you can get in a storm because of other people? Because you're just connected with other people, right? How many know life has just got, it's because of the fall. There's bad things out in life. You can just get in a storm because you're living in life, right? How many know sometimes there's demonic-inspired storms? Remember what Jesus did at that storm that came with him and the disciples? He stood on the bow of the boat and rebuked it, said, peace be still. Well, that wasn't a God storm. He wasn't rebuking God. That was a devil-caused storm, right? So there's different ways to get out of a storm. Sometimes you need to repent because you caused it. Sometimes, you know, you just got to ride it out because of other people. Sometimes you got to stand on the bow of the boat and rebuke it. Sometimes you got to realize, you know, life out there throws things at you. You got to realize I'm redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Just stand in faith. Amen. Now, so, you know, we've all caused our own storms, but thank God for God's mercy, right? He had mercy on Jonah, didn't he? Come on, did anybody admit you've caused some of your own storms? You know, made wrong decisions and so forth and, you know, didn't listen to God. Amen. Now look at this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. How many know adversary just means he's your opponent, isn't he? As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now that's what he was doing in the book of Job. God asked Satan in the book of Job, he said, where you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. Remember that? Well, and then he brought up Job. So what was he doing walking to and fro on the earth in Job's days? He was looking for somebody to devour. What is he doing today? He's still doing the same thing. He's looking for somebody to devour. Right? You hear these people today, you know, they want to worship Satan. Go help yourself. But you're just stupid. Sorry for using the word stupid and this, the kids are out. But anyway, it just came out. You just, because I know you tell your kids, don't say that word. So, but I mean, that's just ignorant, because the devil is going to destroy you. That's all he does. He goes out seeking whom he may devour. But did you notice may means he can't just devour everybody, can he? May is a permission word, isn't it? It means you ask permission. If I come to your house and I say, hey, may I have a glass of tea? Like, I'm asking for permission, right? I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, if you did, I'd never been to your house before. You invite me over to your house. Never been there before. And the first thing I do is I come in, how are you doing? And I go to your fridge, get a Pepsi out. That'd be Pastor Jerry, right? Yeah, he'd do that. But I'm a little more dignified than Pastor Jerry. He knows bigger words than I do, but I'm more dignified than he is. But how many know I wouldn't do that, right? I would say, hey, may I have this? May I have it? Right? Well, I'm asking permission. So the devil, not just devouring everybody, but he's seeking. Look, he's looking. If he could devour everybody, he wouldn't have to look. He's seeking whom he may devour. Now, who is he devouring? Well, verse 9 tells us, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or happening in your brethren than in the world. He's attacking everybody in the world, all your brothers. But he doesn't resist those. He doesn't devour those who resist steadfast in the faith. He doesn't devour those who keep the faith. Amen. So what's the thing? We have to keep the faith, right? See, he wants to change. How many of the Bible tells us we walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight, right? He wants to change that. How many know that? But how many know, you got to resist. Everybody say, I got to resist. You got to ask yourself, do I have any fight in me? I see Christians, whatever comes their way, well, the will of the Lord be done. How many know, that is not the way to approach it. You need to find out what the will of the Lord is and demand that be done in your life. Right? The Bible doesn't say Jesus will resist him for you. It says you resist him. See, that's the same thing. James says resist the devil and he will. He'll flee from who? From you. You. Not Jesus. You. Certainly he'll flee from Jesus, but he's not attacking Jesus. He's attacking you. He'll flee from you if you resist him. He's talking about you believers that have authority over him. Right? See, some of the church doesn't even know we have authority. I've told you this before. It just boggled my mind. I saw this list of the most 10 influential preachers in America. You know who they were. And I heard number five on the radio say this. He said that we Christians don't have authority over the devil. I thought, oh, dear Lord. Why did Jesus come here? Well, Jesus came here to get authority over the devil for himself. I got a word for you. He already had authority over the devil before he came here. He was the Word in heaven. He already had authority. He came here for us to have authority over the devil, right? So that we could have authority over him. Not him. He already had authority over him. He became flesh that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. Amen. So people say, well, in Pentecost years ago, they used to take that scripture in Jude, you know, where Michael, the archangel, you know, spoke to Satan, said, the Lord rebuke you. And they would say, the Lord rebuke you. Well, how many know, that was Michael, an archangel. That wasn't you, a born-again child of God. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. It tells us to do something about the devil. It said, Jesus said, in my name you cast him out. It doesn't say Jesus will do it. It says you got to do it. Amen. People got to get this. See, I know this, to some people, this is heresy teaching, but I don't know what Bible you got. I'm just reading my Bible. My Bible says I'm to resist him. I'm to do something about it, not ask God to do something about it. Of course, it's his power that backs me. Of course, we understand that. But if you don't take the authority, the power to back, it's not going to be there. It's not going to come. So you have to do something. Does this make sense to you? So if you don't do anything, nothing will be done. And you hear Christians say, well, whatever God wants me to have. No, the devil will devour you with that kind of attitude. You got to find out what belongs to you. You got to say, no, devil, you're not going to do that to me. You're not going to win. You're not stealing my faith. Matter of fact, I'm coming out with twice as much. I'm coming out stronger. Hallelujah. Now, whom resists? Verse 9, steadfast in the faith. You got to resist him. If you don't resist him, he'll devour you. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're about done here. Ephesians chapter 6. Did you get a nugget out? This is a little different this morning. You getting a nugget or two out of it? See, Ephesians chapter 6, you got to keep the faith. No matter what you're going through, keep the faith. That's what the Lord said to me. When I asked him, I said, now, Lord, do you permit some of these things? He said, all you need to know is keep the faith. Amen. You don't need to know everything. I'm glad. See, sometimes we think it'd be good if we knew everything. But I've learned things about people. I thought, man, I wish I hadn't found that out. Yeah. Right? Wish I never heard that. I've heard things on the news. I thought, man, I wish I had never even read that. I didn't even need to know that. Right. Amen. So, you know, we don't need to know everything. But what we do need to know, how many know God will tell us? Yeah. Bob says the secret things belong to the Lord. But what he reveals to us, that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah. Amen. It's like, just remember, we read that scripture. I don't know what we were teaching on, but we read the scripture. Oh, I don't know. It's been a few services ago. Where Peter said about John, what about him? And the Lord said, that's none of your business. You don't need to know about him. You just need to know about you. Amen. Well, why is brother so-and-so going through all this trial? Well, you don't need to know that. You just need to know about you. Right? Well, maybe they did something wrong. That's none of your business. Matter of fact, a lot of times you go through trials, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It means you're doing something right. If trials meant you're doing something wrong, Paul was, he was out of the will of God the whole time. I mean, that guy had some issues, you know. But, man, he was tough. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, look at this, verse 16. Ephesians 6, 16. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench how many? All the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, here's, you know, this is part of the armor of God. And this armor is for withstanding in the day of attack, the evil day. And it says, above all, we're to take the shield of faith. And with the shield of faith, we can quench out. How many of the fiery darts again? All of them, all fiery darts. It didn't say we'd stop darts from coming our way, all of them. It said we'd quench them all. But here's the interesting thing. Where the Bible says here, above all, it literally means to have that out in front of you. Put it out in front. Well, the shield's out in front of you. And how many know that shield's out in front? It's quenching all those darts coming your way. So you're in other words, if you just keep the faith, you're going to put them all out. It might be a 3-dart attack. How many ever felt like you had a 12-dart attack? You know, I've had single dart attacks like that wasn't nothing. I just blow that out, you know. But then there's sometimes it's like, boy, he shot about 12 at once that time. Well, how many know the shield of faith will quench how many of them?
All
of them. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had one of those trials, the seasons of trial, and you think, man, every devil in Evansville is after me. Thank God for the shield of faith. Just keep the faith, because you'll quench them, you'll put them all out. You'll extinguish, that says quench, it means to extinguish them, you'll pull them all out. He's trying to burn your life up, but you'll put them all out. You may be there right now, you say, Pastor, I feel like, man, I'll tell you, I think 37 darts got shot at me. Well, whether one got shot at you or 37, the answer is the same. Keep believing God. Well, Pastor, you just act like believing God will fix everything. No, I'm not just acting like that. I'm actually preaching that. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're saved by faith. Amen. We're healed by faith. Delivered by faith. Blessed by faith. So I'm not just saying it. The Bible says it. You have to act like believing God will fix everything. Well, it will if you really believe in God. Amen. The Bible tells us that. Look at this. Let me see. I think we want to look at one more thing maybe here. Let's go to, finally, to Hebrews chapter 6. Go there, Hebrews chapter 6. One of the things, and we mentioned this just a few minutes ago, but one of the things the devil does during attack is he tries to get you to stop walking by faith. He tries to get you to walk by sight, right? You know, pressure from the devil, it's there to get you out of the faith realm. And God, you know, God's answers to problems, they're supernatural. They're supernatural. You know, just like the story I've told over and over again, but it's just the way God operates. It's like we needed $15,000. Now that doesn't sound like, you know, a lot of money to some people, but this was a few years ago. This was before the economy got so good. It was a lot of money, you know? And we needed $15,000. We were behind $15,000. And so, you know, I'd cut everything I could cut, you know, everything you could think of. We dropped stuff, we quit doing stuff, even outreaches we had to quit doing that we were doing. It's just like, because it was getting worse. It was getting worse. And so I could see it was getting worse. And I'm not stupid when it comes to money. All right? I'm not foolish. I don't do stupid things. I don't just say, well, I'm not just flippant with it. You know, I realize we got to do everything we can in the natural and everything we can in the spirit, you know. So I started cut things, and we can't do this anymore. We can't do that anymore. And finally, I realized the last thing to cut around here is me. We got to fire the pastor. And so, didn't really mean like I was going to leave the church. I meant salary's gone. All right. And so I got to make money some way. I got to take care of my wife. She's expensive. I ain't married no cheap lady. No, I'm teasing. That's a joke. You know how if I mention something food wise, then you all start giving it to me. I remember it was Oreos years ago, and I finally put a moratorium on Oreos. Help me say the word; it's not working for me. Moratorium. I told you I got to get my big words from Pastor Jerry. I had to put a moratorium on Oreos, like no more Oreos, all right, because I don't have any quitting sense. And then it went to peanut brittle, you know. And peanut brittle started showing up, and I'd eat the whole thing in two or three settings, you know, and I was like, I can't do this. Phyllis said, why don't you tell them you like diamonds and chocolate? So I like diamonds and chocolate, guys. And she'll get both of them. I like chocolate, but not like she likes chocolate. All right, I can take it or leave it. But anyway, I was, I told about her liking Cheetos, and we got 50 bags of Cheetos. We gave them to the family at Christmas. I was like, take some Cheetos home with you. Oh, wow! I was just wanting a bag of Cheetos. You open your present. Oh, a bag of Cheetos. Yeah. Everybody got the same thing. A bag of Cheetos. I'm teasing, but we did give them away Christmas. So. But anyway, you know, I'd cut everything I could cut, and now I realize, you know, I cannot let this church keep going in debt. I mean, we're paying our bills, don't misunderstand me. But we have one account, it's just going, the general account, it's just going in the red. It's just getting deeper. I said, it has to stop. And I remember the day I said, it has to stop right now. That's it. It has to stop. And there's nothing left to cut. And so I'm driving home from the office, and I'm going down this back road, and I start getting angry about it. Not angry at God, but I'm angry at the devil, because he's the one causing the trial. He's the one causing the problem, not God. God's not withholding. It's the devil. And so I start talking to the devil, and I start yelling. I don't know what people around me are thinking. You know, when I come to a stop sign, I don't care. It's not their problem. It's mine. And I started yelling, devil, you're not running me out of the ministry. Because that's what it looked like he's trying to do, run me out of the ministry. Just financially, run me out of the ministry. And I said, you're not going to run me out of the ministry. I'm not going to let you run me out of the ministry. You hear me? I've been at this too long. I'm not a rookie. I'm not letting you run me out. And the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord reminded me. He said, you're going somewhere else on Sunday morning to preach this Sunday. You're going to be preaching in a different church. I want you to give that church... And I don't know why he gave me this amount. I can't tell you. I just obeyed it. He said, I want you to give him an $1,100 offering. And he said, I want you to give it out of the account that's in the red. So that means we're not $15,000 in the red. We're $16,100 in the red. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I want you to give them an $1,100 offering. He said, it'll bless them. I said, it would bless me. I'm the one that needs it. But, you know, I had enough just sense to know that was God. I didn't put it up for a vote. Some people might not have thought it was God. I just heard from God. I didn't even ask my... Because if I'd put it up for a vote, I'd have voted no. Because I wasn't in favor of it. I'm talking about in the natural. How many know what I'm talking about? In the natural, I wasn't in favor of it. I was in favor of that church giving me an $1,100 offering. But I obeyed God. I went to preach for that church, and I took a church check and wrote it, had it filled out for $1,100. And when the offering came by, I put it in the offering of that church. God is my witness. I'm not putting any jam on it. In 2 weeks' time, we were out of debt. Amen. 2 weeks' time. Two checks. One from somebody, I don't remember who it was, one from Alaska. I mean, when people go to the church, the first one might have been, I don't know, I can't remember. But I know the second one, there was some people in Alaska that knew about us. Sent us an offering. They've never sent us an offering since. But they did when God spoke to them. Hallelujah. Now, that's not the way I'd answered that problem, but God. If you keep the faith, God's got an answer. Job kept the faith, and one day God said, pray for your friends. He prayed for his friends. The Bible says the Lord turned his captivity. Hallelujah. What if he hadn't kept the faith? He wouldn't even be in the Bible. How many know that? We wouldn't even read about him. But because he kept the faith. Everybody say, keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Because he kept the faith. Amen. He came out on the other side. Now, did we read Hebrews? All right, let's read this and we'll close right here. Hebrews chapter 6 and go with me to verse 12. The Bible says this, I think it's verse 12, yeah, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Isn't that something? Faith, what's that mean? They keep faith and patience, they keep the faith. Patience just means they endure in faith. They keep the faith. And that's who we're to follow. That's what we're to follow. Those who inherit the promises. Right? We don't follow those that say, well, it didn't work for me. Don't follow those people. Love them, but don't follow us. Follow those that have victory. Follow those that preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. To preach something else is a strange doctrine, Hebrews says. We don't follow that. Amen. Did you get a nugget this morning? I know it was a little different this morning, but just stir you up. Everybody's going through something most of the time, you know, we're dealing with something. Keep the faith. Don't try to figure it all out. Trust God. He's going to bring me out on the other side. Hallelujah. I don't know why some people go through some things they go through. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But here's what I know, what the Lord said. Just keep faith. That's all you need to know. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.